Discover the wondrous of the universe's design. Discover the wondrous of the universe's design. In Islam and science, where faith and reason align.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatam al-Nabiyyin, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome once again in our new episode of our program Islam and Science, a program which is dedicated towards reflecting and pondering in the signs of Allah Almighty, in the signs of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear viewers, there are various signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that exist in our surroundings, which Allah Almighty has kept for us, and we've been encouraged in the Quran to reflect in them. And in this program, we bring a new topic for discussion, where we talk about a certain sign of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We delve deeper into it, we ponder upon it with the intention of strengthening our faith further. Again, today, dear viewers, we've brought a wonderful subject for you, a wonderful topic for you to discuss. And our today's topic is very closely related to a very particular act, very frequent act that we perform on daily basis, an act that is very, very important for our survival as well. Our topic of the day, dear viewers, is the digestive system. Yes, dear viewers, the digestive system, and it is closely related with the element of eating and drinking. Eating and drinking, dear viewers, is something that we carry out on daily basis multiple times, and digestive system plays a vital role in the survival of human beings. So inshallah, we will try to decode the digestive system. We'll try to understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this function of digestive system within our bodies, and what great signs of Allah's might there are for us to reflect upon. And dear viewers, when you talk about eating and drinking, at several places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also instructed us to do so in the Holy Quran, and we find various ahadith as well in which we've been instructed by the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to eat and drink. And we've also been given instructions in terms of how should we eat, how much should we eat in order to ensure and maintain a healthy lifestyle. Islam is a complete code of life, dear viewers, only if we can follow the instructions given to us in the Quran and Ahadith. So dear viewers, today we'll talk about digestive system, and also we'll talk about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about eating and drinking in the Quran, how we've been instructed to do so, and some ahadith as well we'll cover, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has also instructed us to eat and drink, but how that is also instructed in a hadith in order for our healthy lifestyle. But dear viewers, let me mention the format of our program before you, that alhamdulillah we have three segments in our program. So first segment would be the discussion on the topic of the day, which I've disclosed, which is the digestive system. This will be the first segment of our program. Then, dear viewers, we'll go to our second segment, which is Science for People. In this segment, dear viewers, we choose a verse of the Quran, we listen to its recitation, its translation, and its commentary. And from that very verse, we look into the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in that very verse for the people. And Allah Almighty has commanded us to ponder upon the signs of Allah, to reflect into the signs of Allah. So this is what we'll try to do in that very segment. Then, dear viewers, this will take us to our final and third segment of our day, of our episode, which is Value Health Before Illness. In this segment, dear viewers, we talk about a certain illness, and we also talk about the symptoms of that illness, and also how to take preventive measures against that very illness, so that we can value our health before illness. So we try to educate ourselves with different illnesses, what symptoms are there for them and how can we prevent those diseases. So this is how our program is formatted, and this is how our discussion will be carried out. So dear viewers, first of all, let's start. We're talking about digestive system. It is extraordinary and remarkable function of our body, and something which is phenomenal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. When we look at the digestive system, how everything works in our body, and within this short area and within our body, the different organs, how they play their role in our digestive system. So when we talk about the digestive system, dear viewers, what does it do? The digestive system in our body, it breaks down food and liquid so that the body can use them for energy, growth and tissue repair. So when we eat food, you would have noticed, dear viewers, that we feel energetic. Whenever we are feeling weak, we're feeling tired and we're feeling hungry, we can't perform many tasks. Why? Because we become very weak. So we need to regain energy. For that, we need food. So digestive system breaks the food that we eat, the fluid that we intake, so that the body can use the same intake of the food as energy, as growth, and as tissue repair. Now, dear viewers, digestive system includes a few more steps. For example, there's gastrointestinal tract. So what is this? This is a long tube of organs that runs from the mouth all the way to the end, including the esophagus, stomach, and intestines. And in adults, this is about 30 feet long. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has formed this, created this within our bodies. Then we have accessory organs such as the salivary glands, liver, gallbladders, and pancreas, which produce digestive juices and enzymes. The digestive system's main processes are mixing the food, moving food through the digestive tract, and breaking down food into smaller molecules. So the body breaks down food into smaller molecules so it can absorb nutrients. For example, protein breaks down into amino acids, starches break down into simple sugars, and fats break down into fatty acids. So this is, dear viewers, how the whole process works. And then waste products that the body can't use leave the body through bowel movements. So this is how the entire system works, and this is how amazingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created digestive system within human beings. Now, dear viewers, even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to eat and drink and to make sure we do not waste. Now, this is something which is amazing from the perspective of taking as guidelines for our eating as well, dear viewers. As we're talking about digestive system, then remember there are certain elements which also disturb the digestive system. Among them is also overeating. Among them is also unhealthy diet, excessive eating, so on and so forth. All this adds up towards a disturbed digestive system. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us in the Holy Quran that you should eat, you should drink, but avoid wastage. In verse number 31 of Surah A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O children of Adam, make yourselves presentable at the times of every prayer and eat and drink and do not waste. Indeed, Allah does not like those who waste. Now, dear viewers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to eat and drink, but do not waste. And when we talk about wastage, eating over excessively is also included amongst wastage. Now, you can imagine that excessive eating, unhealthy eating, leads up to a disturbed digestive system, which then can lead up to many other diseases. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us that we can eat, we can drink, of course, what is halal, and we should avoid wastage. Now, Bani Amr, dear viewers, this was a tribe. We're talking about this very verse in the commentary of this verse, that during the time of Hajj, what they would do is they would reduce their intake of food to a great extent. And they would stop eating, consuming meat and fat. And they would deem this to be showing respect towards Hajj.
Now, when Muslims, they saw this, they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam that we are more rightful to do this, that if this action of this shows respect to Hajj, then we have more right of doing this, meaning showing respect to Hajj through this very action. So upon this, this verse was revealed, negating the fact of reducing one's food intake, of avoiding to eat meat and fatty food. So this verse refuted this very action, saying that you can eat, you can drink, you can consume meat, you can consume fatty food, but do not waste. And when we talk about waste, it includes keep eating even after you're full, or keep eating without even taking care of haram or halal. And another thing which is included in wastage is to declare that thing haram which Allah Almighty has not declared haram. So this is great, you can say, a great guideline for us, that we can eat, we can drink, but we should not waste, meaning that we should not overeat. We should look after our digestive system. We should make sure that we do not fill our stomach with excessive food, which makes it difficult for our digestive system to digest the food. Because remember, dear viewers, that the food that we intake, it is for the purpose of gaining energy, for the purpose of gaining power. Now, if the intake of food turns out to be detrimental or turns out to be harmful for our body, for our digestive system, then we are killing the purpose of the food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us. So, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu has also said that eat whatever you want, weigh whatever you want, but avoid wastage and avoid arrogance. So again, subhanallah, beautifully we come to know that we can eat whatever we want, we can drink whatever we want, we can wear whatever we want, of course, which is halal, but we should refrain from wastage and we should abstain from arrogance. And when we say wastage, we should remember the definition of wastage, the entirety of the term wastage, which also included excessive eating, unhealthy eating. So it further states in the commentary of this verse that from this we come to know that only cutting off from this dunya is not worship, but abstaining from sins is worship. And there's a beautiful account, dear viewers, that there was a non-Muslim doctor, physician during the time of the Caliph Harun Rashid. Once he said to Sayyidina Ali bin Hussein Waqid rahmatullah alayh that there's nothing mentioned in relation to medicine in the book of Muslims, meaning in the Holy Quran. So he, rahmatullah alayh, replied to that non-Muslim doctor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has included the entire medicine, the field of medicine, within only half a verse. And then the non-Muslim doctor, he was amazed and he said, which verse is that? So he, rahmatullah alayh, then replied and he recited this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, that eat and drink and do not exceed the limits, do not waste. Subhanallah. So dear viewers, this is how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, instructs us that we can eat, we can drink, but we should not waste, we should not overeat. And within this half a verse, many issues have been resolved from medical point of view, as well as the false beliefs that certain people had at that time, where they would stop eating or they would reduce the amount of their food intake. They would stop eating meat. They would stop eating fat. Why? Because in their minds, by doing this, they were showing respect to Hajj. And then Muslims, what did they say to the Prophet ﷺ? That if this is the case, that if this is showing respect to Hajj, then we have more right of doing so. And upon this, this verse was revealed, instructing the Muslims that you can eat, you can drink, but what should we not do? Waste. And now within this year, subhanAllah, great guidelines for our physical health have also been given. Now, dear viewers, let's sort of decode how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the digestive system and how this entire process begins. So, first of all, dear viewers, when we talk about the digestive system, we of course are talking about food. So food enters from the mouth and then it goes to our belly through our throat. So let's start from the mouth. Digestion begins even before we taste food. So when we see, smell, or taste the food, or even imagine a tasty meal, then what happens? That our salivary glands, they begin to make saliva. You would have noticed that whenever we think about food, we are very hungry, we think about food, or we smell delicious meal or something like this, then all of a sudden, there's some kind of saliva starts accumulating in our mouths. Now, these are the salivary glands, dear viewers, which are located in front of the ears, under the tongue, and near the lower jaw. They start, start forming saliva. Now, once the food is in the mouth, we've taken a bite, now teeth come into play. So they tear and chop the food, and the saliva moistens it for easy swallowing. A digestive enzyme in saliva starts to break down some carbohydrates, which are starches and sugars, in the food. So teeth, they break the food down, and then there's a digestive enzyme in the saliva that breaks it down and moistens it, and this helps for food to now go through the mouth into the throat area. Now, dear viewers, what happens when the food has traveled through the mouth and now reaches the throat? Muscles in the tongue and mouth work together to swallow the food and move it into the throat, also called pharynx. Now, the pharynx is a passageway for food and air. A soft flap of tissue closes over the windpipe when we swallow to keep food and liquid out of lungs. SubhanAllah, look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the intricacy in it, the perfection in it, that after the food is gone in the throat, now there's a soft flap tissue over there which closes over the windpipe when we swallow the food, so the food and liquid, it doesn't go in the lungs. Allahu Akbar. The next stage, dear viewers, is the esophagus. Now, food travels through a muscular tube in the chest called esophagus, and waves of muscle contractions called peristalsis force food down through the esophagus to the stomach. A person usually isn't aware of the muscle movements that push food through the digestive tract. Now, dear viewers, you can imagine that how many muscles are functioning at this point, which are pushing the food down, a flap is closing, enzymes are mixing in the food, they're going through the mouth and the throat, etc., etc. How many muscles and how many processes are going through at one time, but Allahu Akbar, a person doesn't even notice that. Look at the perfection of Allah's creation. Everything in its right and exact position, in perfect proportion. SubhanAllah, who else can do this? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dear viewers, now the food has gone through esophagus and it goes in the stomach. At the end of the stomach is a muscular ring or valve called sphincter. The sphincter lets food enter the stomach, then squeezes shut to keep food and liquids from flowing back up into the esophagus. The stomach muscles churn and mix the food with digestive juices that have acids and enzymes. These juices help break up food into much smaller pieces. Allahu Akbar. The process of food breaking down into more smaller pieces also goes on once the food reaches stomach. And by the time food is ready to leave the stomach, it has been turned into a thick liquid called chyme. A smaller muscular valve called pylorus controls when chyme is released into the small intestine. Right after the stomach, now intestines come into play. So a small muscular valve now controls when the chyme is released into the small intestine. From stomach, it is now going to small intestine. The small intestine is where many nutrients like protein, carbohydrates, and fats get absorbed into the bloodstream. It has three parts. Now, there are further three parts into it. So, the first part is called the duodenum. This C-shaped first part is where enzymes from the pancreas and bile from the liver are added to the chyme. Then there is jejunum. This cold middle part further digests the chyme and absorbs nutrients. And then this ileum, the final section that leads into the large intestine, absorbs nutrients, vitamin B12 and bile acids. Now, dear viewers, millions of microscopic finger-like projections called villi line the inside of small intestine. The villi makes lots of surface area for nutrients to get absorbed into the blood. Then blood brings the nutrients to the rest of the body. While food works its way through the small intestine, three organs that are not part of the alimentary canal help the digestion process. SubhanAllah, there are further three organs over here. The liver makes bile, which helps the body absorb fat. It's located in the top right of the belly. Then there is gallbladder, which stores bile until it is needed. It is hidden just below the liver. Then there is pancreas, which makes enzymes that help digest proteins, fats and carbs. Is found below the stomach. Enzymes and bile travel through small pathways into the small intestine, where they help to break down food. And dear viewers, now undigested food and some water travels to the large intestine through a muscular ring called the ileocecal valve. This valve prevents food from returning to the small intestine. This is again, subhanAllah, the perfection of Allah's creation, that within these organs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these kind of walls which prevent food from going back into the other organs once it's gone into this very organ, subhanAllah. And by the time food reaches the large intestine, the work of absorbing nutrients is nearly finished. And now, dear viewers, the large intestine's main job is to remove water from the undigested matter and form solid waste to be extracted. The large intestine, now, dear viewers, includes three parts. The cecum, this is the beginning of the large intestine. The appendix is a small, hollow, finger-like pouch that hangs off at the end of cecum. Then, dear viewers, there is the colon, which extends from the cecum, up the right side of the abdomen, the ascending colon, across the upper abdomen, transverse colon, and down the left side of the abdomen, descending colon. Then it connects to the rectum. The rectum is where excrement is stored until it leaves the digestive system as a bowel movement. And dear viewers, it can take days for food to fully pass through the digestive system. So dear viewers, this was very briefly, you can say, a snapshot of how our digestive system works and how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed, created the digestive system in human beings. And the more we delve deeper into them, dear viewers, the more we are taken aback, the more we are astonished. As Allah Almighty mentions in the Quran, not to waste, meaning eat and drink and do not waste. And this shows us, dear viewers, that even in today's day and age, the modern researchers and the doctors, they do instruct their patients not to overeat and adopt a healthy, balanced diet. And this is again what we are instructed in the Quran, that we should not waste. And remember that wastage also includes excessive eating in this context. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. He knows what is good for us, what is bad for us. So He mentions in the Quran, within this is the eloquence of Quran, dear viewers, this is the brilliance of Quran, that within very few words many issues are resolved. So the ill practice that was going on during that time, that was prominent during that time, that was also negated. And also great guidelines were provided for the mankind until the day of judgment. Then you visit various other places in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us and tells us that Allah Almighty has created the livestock, the animals, and how milk is produced from their bellies in between impurities, the impurities of dung, the impurities of blood. In the midst of that, pure milk is extracted, pure milk is attained by the human being. Who can do this? Who can have such perfect creation? It is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator. And then, dear viewers, in many ahadith as well, we've been instructed, we've been advised to eat in a certain way. And only if we can act upon these instructions in the hadith, we will lead a healthy life. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a human being feels no worse vessel than his stomach. It is sufficient for a human being to eat a few mouthfuls to keep his back straight. But if he must fill it, then one third of food, one third for drink, and one third for air. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us a great remedy over here, that only if we can adopt to this, we will lead a healthy life. That when we eat, our stomach should be filled one third with food, one third should be for drink, and one third should be for air, meaning leave it empty. But what do? We overeat until we can't eat anymore. We keep eating. This is excessive eating. So a stomach is full up to the top, and there's no more space for us to keep eating. This is not what the hadith instructs us. The hadith tells us that one third food, one third drink, and one third air. We should eat when we are hungry and stop eating when we are still hungry. You will lead a healthy lifestyle, dear viewers. So have healthy lifestyle, dear viewers. Have be used to healthy eating, and make sure that we do not overeat, and make sure that we eat when we are hungry and we stop eating when we are still hungry. Some people, they live to eat. It shouldn't be the case. We should eat to live. There's a difference. So don't live to eat. Eat to live. This is what our approach should be. Sometimes we eat just for granted, just for the sake of it. We're not even hungry. We want small snacks here and there. This is what we end up doing. No, dear viewers. We should eat only when we are feeling hungry, and we should stop eating still when we are hungry. You will see how beautiful your health turns out to be. Dear viewers, now it is time for us to go to our second segment of the day, which is signs for people. So let's go towards it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Let's explore both in the light of one another.
Dear viewers, the verse of the Quran that we have chosen today is verse number 27 of Surah Rum. Let's listen to it first, and then we will listen to its translation and the signs that Allah Almighty has mentioned in it. Let's listen to his recitation first.
وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
Translation from Kanzul Irfan. It is He who originated the creation, then He will create it again, and that is easier for Him in your understanding. Supreme excellence in the heavens and the earth belongs to Him, and He is the most exalted, the most wise. Now, dear viewers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings forth a great proof for His might, for His power, where He says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation for the first time, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the creation back to life after their passing, after their perishing, again on the day of judgment. And dear viewers, the point which is mentioned in this verse is that according to the understanding of humans, creating something again, after once it's been created, creating something again is easier as compared to creating it for the first time. This is of course according to the understanding of human mind. So according to human mind, creating something again is comparatively easier than creating something for the first time. So based on this understanding again, it should be easier for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect the creation again on the day of judgment after their passing. However, it is same for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either creating for them for the first time or resurrecting them on the day of judgment. So it is not difficult at all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why do you refute the resurrection of the mankind on the day of judgment? So dear viewers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents this proof for the mankind, for them to ponder and reflect upon the fact that Allah is the one who created the mankind for the first time without any precedence. When the mankind was created for the first time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did so. And when people will be perished, when the mankind will be perished, then resurrecting them again on the day of judgment, there's nothing difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This act is not difficult at all for Allah Almighty. And again, for human beings, according to the human mind, creating something again, once it's been created before, creating a similar thing again is comparatively easy. So even based on this argument or this understanding of human mind, it should be easier for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect the human beings again on the day of judgment. But it is same for Allah Almighty, whether it is for the first time or whether it is resurrecting them again on the day of judgment. So why do you deny this? Subhanallah. So this is how Allah Almighty draws our attention towards resurrection on the day of judgment. And Allah Almighty addresses those who refute the resurrection of the day of judgment. So this is the beautiful reminder, the beautiful sign Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for us to ponder upon, to reflect upon, that nothing is difficult for Allah Almighty. If He can create us for the first time from nothing, from non-existence, then He can also create us, resurrect us for the second time after we pass away. May Allah resurrect us among the pious. Ameen. Now, dear viewers, it is time for our third and final segment of the day, which is Value Health Before Illness. Let's go towards it. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Let's explore both in the light of one another.
Dear viewers, the illness that we've chosen today is a very common illness that many people fall prey to or they face. It is cold and flu. Nowadays, the winter period has arrived, and we know that this is very, very common. Now, dear viewers, there are a few, when we talk about cold and flu, of course, they're very closely related to each other. Sometimes, cough is also accompanied by cold and flu. When one catches flu, phlegm accumulates in his nose in rubbery mucus form. One feels more fatigue whilst having flu in comparison with cold. So although they are different diseases altogether, but they are very closely related. Now, dear viewers, let's talk about some symptoms of flu. The common symptoms of flu include slight temperature, runny nose, sore throat, fatigue, sneezes, and coughing, etc. And common cold symptoms typically appear in stages. The common cold stages include early, active, and late. So these are the names of the stages, right? Early stage, active stage, and late stage. If you talk about the early stage GABS, this is stage 1 of 3, within 1 to 3 days of picking up a cold virus, you may notice a tickle in your throat. About half of all people with colds report a tickly or sore throat as their first symptom. Other common cold symptoms you may experience during this early stage include sneezing, runny nose, stuffy nose, which is nasal congestion, cough or hoarseness. Then, dear viewers, we go to stage 2, which is active. So the stage 1, early stage, was days 1 to 3. Now we're talking about stage 2, which is active stage, days 4 to 7. So symptoms typically worsen or peak during this stage. In addition to the symptoms in stage 1, you may experience body aches, headache, runny eyes and nose, fatigue, and fever. Now, dear viewers, we go to stage 3, which is called as late stage. This is days 8 to 10. So cold usually begins to wind down during this stage. You may be free and clear at this point, but some symptoms can persist. Some people develop a nagging cough that can last up to 2 months after a respiratory infection. If your symptoms get worse and or your fever returns, make a trip to the healthcare provider. You may have developed another infection or a complication, which can also include pneumonia. So if after 8 to 10 days you're still having similar kind of feelings, then you should visit your doctor, as it is there's a possibility that there's something else that you may be developing, including pneumonia. So it can get serious for you at this point. Now, dear viewers, effects of cold and flu. If you talk about this, if cold and flu do not get cured soon, it is a cause of concern, because suffering continuously from cold results in falling complications. Hair turns white early, there's a potential risk of eyesight getting weak, the mind gets weak, it develops ear and respiratory diseases. In addition to them, the possibility of further serious diseases cannot be ruled out. So it can be a cause of concern if we don't get it cured or treated soon. So DAV is very, very important for us. Don't take it for granted. As soon as this happens and it persists for a couple of days, straight away seek medical advice. Go and see the doctor. Otherwise, there could be further more complications, which can then worsen in the future as well. There's a lot more to discuss about this topic, DAV. The causes of cold and flu and precautions and some other things as well. We haven't got much time left, but I will very quickly try to run through them. So what can cause cold and flu? Having inadequate sleep, sitting in front of the cold air of the AC for a long time, having being physically weak, being in a cold atmosphere for a long time, drinking very cold water after eating hot food, taking baths with cold water immediately after coming from the hot sunshine, or having hot tea or coffee after drinking cold water, and sometimes smoking and staying in the sunlight bareheaded for a long time also cause cold and flu. So dear viewers, these are some of those things which can lead to this problem. Now, there are further methods as well how we can clear blocked nose, because remember that we should not have blocked nose for a very long time, as it can lead to more complications. So one is to inhale steam. Inhaling steam can help us unblocking our nose, and this is very, very important for us. And as we do this, we will have runny nose, but this is good in a way for us when we are trying to unblock our nose. So dear viewers, this was again very briefly a snapshot of what cold and flu is, how it can affect us, what causes it, and what stages are there in this disease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to lead a healthy and pious life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure us all from all physical illnesses as well as all spiritual illnesses. And may Allah Almighty keep us steadfast on Iman. And may Allah Almighty allow us to reflect upon His signs of wonder, His signs of majesty, and strengthen our faith. T Dear viewers, this was all from today's episode. Inshallah, we will be back again next week with a new episode with a new interesting topic. So make sure that you join us again next week and stay tuned into Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Discover the wonders of the universe's design. Discover the wonders of the universe's design. In Islam and science, where faith and reason align.